Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast and YouTube video with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I have got a very special guest, Casey, today. So welcome, Casey.
Johnny, thank you so much for having me on. I'm very, very humbled and privileged. Thank you.
Well, we're very privileged to have you on as well. So thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. So Casey will go more into her story, but Casey is a confidence coach like myself, but she's a confidence coach who specializes in working with entrepreneurs and professional athletes, helping them achieve their best and upping their confidence. So Casey, I've given a little bit of an introduction to you, but do you want to say a little bit more about yourself and how you got into this area?
Yeah, of course. So where do I start? Well, you'll hear I might have a funny accent. So I have a bit of a blend of accents. I was born and raised in South Africa, and then my family's moved over to Australia. But I've spent the past 4 years working on cruise ships over in the US with a lot of English. So I've got a big blend of accents. However, when COVID hit, obviously that whole industry was shut down. So I lost my job, had to come back to Australia. And I kind of knew when I came back to Australia that I could not go back into a typical 9-to-5. I was like, I've been working, I've had this like dream life working, traveling the Caribbean for the past like 4 years. I can't just go back into a 9-to-5 and just settle. I knew I had to build something that would allow me when lockdown was kind of over to continue my passion for traveling. So I started like looking into different businesses, and long story short, I ended up working with a couple of people that said, well, why don't you become a coach? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess I could become a coach. And I kind of put out to the people that I knew and the people that I worked with on cruise ships. And my question kind of was, if there was anything you could learn from me, if there was anything I could teach you that you think I would give value to you, what would that be? And 90% of people said confidence. Like, they were like, oh, you're one of the most confident people we know. Like, you could definitely, like, your self-confidence, your confidence on camera and on stage and all sorts of things, like you just don't even bat an eyelid, like you just super confident. And then also solo traveling, like I've traveled to more than 40 countries, a lot of them by myself. So I've got a lot, like traveling the world, I'm pretty confident as well. So that's what kind of everybody came back with. So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's definitely something I could get into. So I started just doing a lot of work and, you know, working on myself, working on my own mindset, because, you know, there was a lot of limiting beliefs that I had about being a coach as well. But yeah, did a lot of mindset work, a lot of training, just started speaking to people, just started helping people. And yeah, one thing led to the next. I ended up absolutely booming as a coach, like just found my niche and started running with it. So I worked a lot with like mindset and confidence and helping people just have more self-confidence, have more confidence to kind of go after what they want and what they dream about. Because that's a big passion of mine, is to, like, that's my driving force. Like, if you're not happy, like, change something, like let's find your happy, let's go for it. I'm going to give you the confidence to step out of your comfort zone and go after like your dream life. That's what I'm, you know, a lot of people always turned around and said to me, they were like, oh, I wish I could do what you do, I wish I could travel like you do, I wish you could do. And I was like, but you can. I'm not special, like I'm not born special, like you can. It's just a skill you have to learn. So I kind of made it my mission to take on and, you know, give people the passion. I wanted to do something in traveling, but obviously the world is not really the travel space, the travel scene right now. So I've started my business and built it from scratch, and I've been doing very, very well. So yeah, I've now like merged my business. I still focus on confidence, but I do focus on confidence in business. So helping people start and grow their own businesses so that they can have the freedom and the lifestyle that they wish to have, that they don't have to be, you know, held up by a pandemic, or, you know, if they lose their job or stressed about their families or anything like that. And then, yeah, the professional athletes thing came by accident, and been having a blast there. So I've been working with a couple of golfers, and that just came by accident from like having a few drinks at the golf course and chatting to a few guys. So yeah, that's kind of my story, if you want to pick up anything in there.
No, I love it. I love how you just decided and you were thinking the idea of going back to a normal job wasn't right for you, and you didn't want to limit yourself to that. And obviously you mentioned about you had limiting beliefs yourself. I think that's really important. Thank you for sharing that, because I think, you know, you were perceived as quite a confident people by those people on the cruise ship. And yeah, sometimes I've been perceived at times of being like really, really confident, even though I've had in the past like a real lack of low self-esteem. That's what got me into this area. So I think it's important to pick up on the point that confident people don't have zero worries and have zero fears or zero limitations. It's just about how we all deal with our limiting beliefs and our mindset around that. So yeah, thanks for touching on that one. So in terms of some of the most common limiting beliefs you perhaps come across from your own experience that you mentioned, or people you've worked across, what are some of the main limiting beliefs you uncover?
So I think that the number one thing that I battled with that I had to face, and I think, you know, a lot of people face this on a daily basis, and that was imposter syndrome. That was the first imposter syndrome, that little voice inside your head when you think, oh, maybe I can do that. And then that little voice goes, nah, no, you can't. You don't be serious. You can't do that. That's imposter syndrome. That's that silly little voice that says to you, that makes you think that you can't do something. And the moment someone turned around to me and said, well, why don't you do coaching? And I was like, me, a coach? Like, who would listen to me as a coach? Like, it took a lot for me to go, like, no, I don't want to know. Why, who am I gonna, what do I know? What credentials do I have? And the more I spoke to this person, the more I learned about it, and I started speaking to other people, and I'm like, well, I'm naturally the person that people go to for advice. Like, naturally, I was always on the ship, the person that had most of the secrets, because people would just go to me and open up to me. Even strangers just come up to me, like when I used to work in retail. Like, it was this phenomenon that, like, people would just open up and tell me their whole life stories, like without me asking. But it was just a comfort thing that, I don't know, people kind of got from me. So I was like, well, okay, if I can help someone, you know, from my experiences, from everything that I've learned and that I've gone through, and I'm not going to pretend like I haven't done, you know, I'm not going to pretend like I've done something if I haven't. But my confidence, I never used to have big confidence. Like, when I was a kid, I suffered anxiety so badly and separation anxiety from my mother that I developed like ulcers in my stomach. I developed chronic issues with my back. I had like severe issues growing up as a kid. And it put such a strain on my parents' marriage, because my parents could never go away. Like, cause I couldn't, like, I would go full panic attack, like to trips to the hospital type panic attack when I was younger, and I couldn't go on school excursions, nothing. So I've gone from this, like this kid that had these huge panic attacks, and I did a lot of mindset work and a lot of self-development from a young age to try and get over that. Cause I was like, I need to have a normal life. And then moving countries is huge. Like, moving countries, immigrating countries at 16 years old was one of the hardest things that I ever had to do, to come from like a big city where it's like my life, my world, my, you know, everything I know, to completely different culture, small town, completely different people, at an age where I was like, you know, really like figuring out who the hell I was, you know, that 16-year-old, I was just finding my feet in South Africa, and then to suddenly be ripped away from that. So there's a lot of things that I've gone through where you kind of get to the point where it's like, well, you're either going to sink or swim. And I've gotten to those points where I'm like, okay, I've had enough of being upset now. I've had enough of not being confident. I've had enough of not having what I want or where I want to go. Something's got to change. And I know that it starts with me. And I know that starts with me. So everything starts with me. And I knew I couldn't blame anyone externally. I couldn't look for it externally. I knew it had to start with me. And I unconsciously did this before I knew about proper like mindset training and the power of the mind and things like that. Like, it just naturally, I knew I had to pull it. I was responsible for my life, and I had to pull my shit in, basically. I had to get my butt into gear. So it was like a must almost. Yeah.
Like it was like, I must do this, like the single swim, you said.
Yeah, that's it. I just got to the point where I was like, you know, there's no reason why I can't have all the things that I want to have. There's no reason why I can't travel the world like I see on social media. And that's it. I've traveled many places around the world by myself, like solo, but I didn't go. Like I didn't actually set off on my travels until I was 22, 23, because I didn't want to go alone. I thought, no, being a girl, you can't travel by yourself. No, you can't do that. Or, you know, the main belief that then was instilled in me was, no, you have to get a job, you have to go to uni, you have to be settled before you can start traveling. So I fell into that trap for the first like 2 or 3 years. And then I realized I was 22. I had a very high paying job, very well paying job in a corporate world, making more than the average 21, 22 year old was making. I had a top floor apartment, a beautiful car, and I was miserable. I was miserable. And I was like, I'm doing everything society tells you you're supposed to do. And I was miserable. So I was like, no, that's it. I just decided I'm done. That's when I booked my first cruise. And that's a whole nother story. But anyway, I booked my first cruise and realized that's what I wanted to do. Came back from my first cruise, quit my job, went and lived in Asia by myself for 3 months while I waited for the ships. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to sink or swim. I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other and just keep going. It'll lead me somewhere. And thanks to that, you know, I did. I went over and thank goodness I went and did the cruise ships, which was the most amazing experience. Met people from all over the world. I've traveled all over the world. So that's why when I came back, I had this belief and I knew in myself that I've gotten through a lot. I've gotten through terrible breakups, you know, that absolutely destroy your self-esteem. But I've done the work, you know, I did the work on myself to grow from that. And so everything, it's just building blocks. Like I wasn't just born confident. Like my whole life has been building blocks on little things that have like torn me down. And I go, okay, no, we gotta build it back up. We gotta find another path. So I think when COVID hit and I came home and I was like, shit, now what? Like now again, I found my footing in something I really love to do. And COVID's just gone, meh, meh. So my limiting belief was like, no, I don't think I can be a coach. But then I realized I can do anything I put my mind to. I can do anything I put my mind to. So I was like, I just need to learn how. I just need to gain the confidence and the competence in this area to learn how to do this. And I know I'll be able to do it. So I'm very grateful. So yeah, then one of the biggest limiting beliefs is the imposter syndrome. And that's all you. There's no other person that's telling you can't do it other than yourself. And I truly believe that we are capable of anything we want to do. So I think that's where limiting beliefs come in, and they're so deeply ingrained in us. They are like, you know, imposter syndrome's one, you know, family beliefs and religious beliefs are another one that hold a lot of people back, you know, that people too afraid of what other people will think or what other people will say about what they're going to do. And that's also another biggest thing that holds people back. But then I kind of go, well, who are you doing that for? You're going to sit and worry about what this person's going to say about you in the short term, but then in 5 years from now, you're still not going to be where you want to be. And where are they going to be? They're also not going to be where they want to be. So kind of what, you know, where do you want to go? So yeah, so that's where I like to try and tackle, is that I get people to turn in and reflect in. And building self-confidence is building blocks, slow steps, but it is possible. Everybody's got it inside of them. Everybody's possible to be confident.
Yeah. That was extremely valuable insight there, Katie. So thank you for that and sharing your story. And wow, you know, very, very impressive kind of like journey you've got. And obviously you're still very, very young and you've gone through an awful lot, but you've learned from it. So. Yeah, a couple of things I've noticed that obviously the imposter syndrome's is a key one, and I can't kind of emphasize this enough, and I keep trying to drill this into people's head that this is something anyone and pretty much most people I've spoken to go through. It's your brain feeling a bit uncomfortable, going into a new situation, and it's trying to hold you back. It's like, why are you doing this? Who are you to be doing this? And that's because you're going into the unknown, right? But yeah. when you do it more and more, it becomes a bit more comfortable. But we're never going to be ready unless we keep going. So I love what you kind of said about your imposter syndrome, your experience. Who am I to be a coach? And, you know, thank goodness you did become a coach, because you're giving so much value. And what you also said about what others think was a really, really important point, because I think sometimes that can hold us quite a lot back in terms of, oh, no, what they're going to think. Are they going to think I'm trying to become completely different and run away from my old group of friends or old group of family? But actually, you're giving value by becoming that coach or that entrepreneur or the area of business you're working in. Actually, you're holding back an awful lot of value. I think there's one thing I picked up on. I was kind of noticing a pattern, was the way you're moving forward sounded like you were asking yourself the powerful or empowering questions, as opposed to, oh, why has this gone wrong for me? You're thinking, okay, what can I learn? How can I move forward? So do you think that was quite a big factor, the questions you're asking yourself and how you're able to grow more and more?
Yeah, absolutely. Like imposter syndrome is something that'll never go away. It'll never go away. We will always find it in little ways all around, you know, and all sorts of different things. Like even now, I still struggle from imposter syndrome because I'm starting something new. And the same with the athletes. When I started working with the athletes, like that came up, and I'm doing something new now. I'm going bigger and I'm like, oh God, who am I? I'm comparing myself to these, you know, these coaches that have been coaching for 5 years. And I'm like, no, stop it. Like everybody started somewhere. So just know it about imposter syndrome. You'll always have it, but you've just got to recognize it and not listen to it and trust that it's a process. And people worry about what people think also, because it's a fear of like that fear of failure. Like, well, what if it doesn't work and people, you know, people laugh or whatever. I don't know. I don't even know what people would do. But, you know, I felt that as well when I started putting out like educational videos. Like I just was this travel person that people knew that I traveled. Now I started talking about business and mindset and performance and things like that. And people were like, I thought that people were like, oh my God, who's this chick saying all of this? And never know, did anybody actually say anything to me. And now they go, oh my gosh, your stuff is so valuable. I look forward to it every week. But definitely the thing what people, repeat your last question. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there. What was your last question that you asked? I know you touched on those two.
No, I think you were covering most of it. I mean, I was also wondering about the questions you were asking yourselves to kind of move forward a little bit. And it sounds because from my kind of understanding from what you were saying, it is more like sometimes you had had challenges and you've been really thrown in the deep end, and setbacks you had experienced in life, like all of us, but sounded like the questions you're asking yourselves were more empowering than ones to set you back.
Yeah. Well, there's something very like, so it's either like your positive and negative states. Like you can choose what state you want to be in. But then there's also two different mindsets. There's your fixed mindset and your growth mindset.
Yeah.
If you are a person that is stuck in a fixed mindset, then naturally the questions that you're going to go to are, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like, or, you know, in the like, why is this happening to me? Like, this is so unfair. I've worked so hard. How can this be happening? You know, those are the sorts of questions. Like, I need something else. You're searching for something externally to change your internal world. You know, whereas a growth mindset will be like, oh, okay, this is a setback. What are we going to do now? What can we go? Where can we go? Mm-hmm. Who can we talk to? What do we want? So yeah, I have always been like that. You know, when I don't know, I think I just, I get to these points where I'm like, well, I can sit here and wallow and that's not helping anybody, or I can make something of it. And I think I just came home. When I came home, I said, okay, what are we going to do now? I remember sitting in quarantine. Like I just flown back from the ships. I was sitting in hotel quarantine for 2 weeks and I was researching businesses like a mad person. Cause I was like, I need to make something, because I wasn't just going to go, I could have, and I did, you know, we came home, we had government support, which so many people did, like just came home and sat on government support because it was easy to do. You didn't have to look for a job. But I was like, no, well, I'm thinking more long term. I'm thinking 12 months from now, which it's now 12 months, like, since I got home. And that's kind of where I'm like, okay, no, I need to be prepping myself for the future, not just like waiting for things to happen, if that makes sense. I'm always the type of person that will make things happen rather than wait for things to happen. Probably just because I'm super impatient as well and I want things now. If I set my mind on something, like, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen now, which is a big learning thing I've had to get over, because I'm very hard on myself with a lot of things. But yeah, 100%, it's your the mindset that you are in. You are choosing to be in that mindset. So whenever you are put in any sort of situation, just pay attention to the questions that are coming up in your head. You know, are they negative or are they positive? Are they fixed? Like, this is happening to me. Why is the world like this? Or is it, you know, okay, now what am I going to make of it? Like COVID, I mean, I don't really participate in. I've got lots of conspiracy theories as to, you know, COVID, but I'm like, there's nothing I can do about it. There is nothing I can change about it. It's the reality, whether it was whatever anybody has to say about it. The reality is, this is happening. So how can I use this to my advantage, or how can I make the most of this time? Because complaining about it, or fighting with the government, or saying this or saying that, or being afraid or being scared, it's wasting time. Like, it's still, we've had 12 months to sit at home. Like, people who haven't built businesses in the past 12 months where they've sat at home with internet access, with nothing to do, nowhere to go, no partying, like, why wouldn't you build a business? There's nothing else to do. So that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of my mindset.
Yeah, the resourcefulness rather than the resources you've got. And obviously we've still got a few. It depends where you are in the world. Obviously, some of us are more blessed than others, and but it's all about the most, you know, successful and driven people I've certainly studied. You know, we're on similar wavelengths of sort of studying best practices and understanding people, but certainly the most successful and growth mindset. I was going to say growth mindseted. I was going to just make up terms then.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, I do that all the time, but. Yeah, they've always got this resourcefulness rather than the resources. Even some of them came from really, really tricky or bad backgrounds where they've been not had a good advantage in life thrown to them. And they've actually been really resourceful. So absolutely about resourcefulness is absolutely key. I suppose my next question is, so you mentioned obviously about the situation we're in, and then the imposter syndrome and things like that kicking in. From kind of people you've worked with yourself, what do you find some of the common things that knock their self-confidence back, would you say? Obviously, we spoke about imposter syndrome, but
yeah,
that's kind of something that can pop up as well. But kind of what are some of the things that cause those kind of things do you find?
Yeah. One of the biggest things with people's self-confidence is actually the people around them. Mm. So that's one of the biggest kickers, you know, who are you surrounding yourself with, and what are they talking about? What language are they using? How are they talking to you? How are you talking when you're around them? That's one of the biggest things I pull up when I am with somebody that's, you know, that does struggle with self-confidence. That's the first thing we look at, is like, who are the people that are around you? What are the conversations that you're having? Because you are the average of the five people around you. You know, we've all heard it. If you're hanging around 6 millionaires, chances are you're going to be the, 5 millionaires, chances are you're going to be the 6 millionaires. If you're hanging out around with, you know, 5 Darrow, druggy, you know, sitting on the couch like bums, chances are you're going to be a bum too. You know, maybe not, maybe, you know, you're a unique person. But there's this other thing, and like, I could go super geeky into, you know, the power of our minds and actual like wavelengths and neuroscience and everything like that. I'm a big, I don't know if you know Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. So he speaks about like, you literally, we are connected. We are actually connected. So that's why if you're in a room with people who are aggro and agitated and, you know, depressed or, you know, down, you generally will feel those feelings, you know, you can very easily be pulled down. That's why corporate, you know, people have such difficult times in corporate because everybody's so stressed and, you know, high strung. So that's one of the things is, yeah, the people around you. Listen to how you're speaking about yourself to the people around you and how people are speaking to you and how the people are speaking about themselves. Because we're very quick to pull ourselves down as well. I know I used to do this all the time. It's called dimming your light. I used to always, I couldn't take compliments for a long time because I would be like, oh, I thought people wouldn't like me if I was too likable, if that makes sense. So I would dim my light. If we were in a room and I was the confident person, the confident loud person, when you're in ships, it's fine because I'm wearing a name badge and I've got a microphone. So I'm paid to be the loudest person in the room, which fitted my personality. But any other time, like if I'm back in Australia, I was very, very different back in Australia around my friends and still am. Like I'm still very quiet. I'm way more quiet and way more reserved around people, not because of a fear, but because people do pull. Australia, we've got this tall poppy syndrome. It's called tall poppy syndrome. And they pull each other down. So a lot of people do struggle with that and they'll dim their light. Someone will give them a compliment and automatically you'll be like, oh no, but I'm, you know, oh, you're looking fabulous. Oh, thanks. I just ate so much. I'm so bloated. You know, like girls do that all the time. They pull themselves down because you also don't want to be seen as you're arrogant instead of being able to genuinely accept a compliment and believe it and go, yeah, I'm actually doing really well. So I think that's one of the biggest things with self-confidence. The other thing is just, you know, how people see themselves, how they talk about themselves, what they see in the mirror, what they tell themselves in the mirror, because your subconscious mind listens. Mm-hmm. Whatever you say, whether you say something that's positive or negative, it doesn't have a positive or negative filter. Whatever you say, it will listen to you and that will become your identity. That's why affirmations are so powerful and everybody says to do affirmations. And even if your first few times you see them, you don't believe them, if you continually say them, you eventually will trick your brain. You can brainwash yourself into believing that you are a confident person, that you are a very happy person. It's just your subconscious mind. So yeah, it's a lot of programming, like undoing of programming that you have to do. But yeah, that's the first place that I would start is like, what are people's beliefs about themselves? What are the other people around them saying and doing and how are you surrounding yourself? And then also, are they living on purpose? Are they living a life that they're happy about? Because no one feels that confident. If you feel like you're an imposter in your own life, meaning that you're doing a job because you have to, or you fear that you can't do anything else, or you're in a life where you're stuck and you don't know how to get out of, like, you don't know how to change. You don't know how to get out of it, but you know, so many people wake up in their 40s and 50s. And that's why I have midlife crises as well, because they go, I've just worked for 30, 40 years and I'm not anywhere where I thought I would be. Like, who the hell is this person? Why have I woken up in someone else's life? Because they haven't been living their authentic lives. They've been living what they thought they had to, what society expected, or, you know, what their parents expected or something like that. So yeah, I'm a big person of finding, okay. So number one, figuring out who's around you, how they're speaking about themselves, how you're speaking about yourselves, and figuring what you want out of life and starting to go after that. Cause when you live on purpose, you're going to feel a lot more confident. When you start doing everything each day that you're happy, that lights your soul on fire, how can you not be confident and happy if you're doing something that you're passionate about every single day? But a lot of people don't even know what they're passionate about because they've never asked themselves the question. So that's kind of where I start.
Brilliant. And you totally gave a great example earlier of when you were in your very early 20s and you're in a well-paid job, you're in a good corporate career, you had, you know, some quite good luxury car and quite a nice apartment. But you weren't necessarily happy, and that probably didn't make you feel so good about yourself. And as a result, because you were stuck there, and I can totally relate as well. I remember being in the pub.
It was the rat race as well. Like, it wasn't that I was unhappy. It was just that I always felt I had to be a little bit more ahead before I could start going after my dreams. You know, I had to have more saved up before I could go traveling. I had these unrealistic expectations of what my life had to be like before I could start enjoying it. And that's when, like, I mean, like, something happened and I basically got whacked in the face. And then it's like, no, okay, now it's time to change. And that's when, like, I literally pivoted everything. But I'm very quick. I can do that, I think, because I've done that a few times in my life, like moving countries and everything. I can very quickly go, no, okay, I finally had enough. I'm going to throw myself completely out of my comfort zone and start something new and go with it. Because this ship's sinking, and you can stay on the sinking ship and just, like, paddle your way to shore, or you can get the hell off the boat and start going, you know, start going after what you want. So it's kind of how I try and live by.
Yeah, brilliant. And we can hear or see your energy if you're watching the video, of like what you're doing now. It's obviously giving you a lot of energy. And yeah, I mean, I've been in places, and for me it started with a question when I was in a public sector job, just sitting in a meeting and just thinking, my God, this is so boring. And I just like sat there and thinking, I was going out with my social life through my 20s, just hit 30, but through my 20s was just like work, party at the weekends, which is always fun. But, and then it's just back to work. And then I just remember sitting in a meeting one day thinking, oh my goodness, this is so boring. Just like, and then I was saying, why am I here? And I was like, to pay the bills, to try and get a job, to get myself to the age of 65 so I can retire. And I went, hang on. And it's just that question in your head thinking, is this seriously life? And then you just, it's about those questions again. And you know, you asking yourself, there must be more, as you said, when you're in your sort of like miserable job. And even though it was a good pay job on sort of like the outside to other people, it didn't align with you, and that really affected how you feel. So that's definitely a great piece of advice for people to kind of think about. Is what you're doing what you're just doing what you think you should do, or what do you actually want to do, and is it you?
Yeah.
And if you don't know, it's fine, but you know, you need to go and discover it.
Dude, was one of the biggest like realization moment for me, when I think I just when I was able just to let go and trust that things would happen. Like, I'm also a big, you know, law of attraction person. And I think, I don't know if it was on The Secret or something I watched. It must have been something about, I don't know, I've consumed so much. But they talk about this radar screen, and they speak about like what you know, everything that you know is on this radar screen. Oh, actually, it was a guy called Kevin Trudeau. Kevin Trudeau has a series on YouTube called Your Wish Is Your Command. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. It's very conspiracy. He was apparently one of the top of the Freemason secret societies, and he's like spilling all the secrets, basically, is what they're kind of talking about. But anyway, the way he says is, he goes, this is radar screen. We've been programmed our entire life by society, because we need people to be in, you know, 9-to-5 jobs. We need checkout people. We need, you know, street sweeps. We need people like that. We need teachers. We need everything. We need those people to have the 9-to-5. Otherwise, society will collapse. So you're brainwashed into believing that this is the way that life needs to be, and that only the 1% know the secrets to, you know, to making lots of money and to getting out there. But it's basically just breaking out of this radar screen. So everything that we know, is what's on this radar screen. So everything you know, all the possibilities that you have for your life that you can possibly picture, imagine you can see as little like dots on this radar screen. Now imagine your radar screen is, let's say this is the radar screen. And this little pinprick here where the pen is, see if we can put it. This little pinprick is how much you know, and what you think your world is. But then there's all of this part of the radar screen. There's all of this part of the radar screen. There's this. And it goes on and on and on. So you don't know what you don't know outside of your radar screen. So don't tell me you can't start a business, or you can't go after your dreams, or you can't have what you want, because you just don't know how you're going to get it. But as soon as you go, okay, I'm trusting the fact that whatever I don't know is out there, and I will eventually know it. I just need to consciously expand my radar screen so I can start to learn more and discover more. Like, I never would have thought I'd be coaching athletes and business, like entrepreneurs. Like, never would I have thought 12 months ago that's what I would be doing. Never. I knew I wanted, I knew the destination I wanted to get to. I knew I wanted to have an independent business that will allow me to travel, continue traveling. Now, 12 months down the line, I had no idea that this would be the vehicle that I'm in and that I'm going traveling in a month. So that's just where I'm very passionate, is that you don't know what you don't know. But if you don't allow yourself to discover it, then you'll never know. Like, you've got to push the boundaries. And whatever your dream is, whatever it is you want to do, whether, I know we're speaking a lot about business, but whatever it is, if you want the confidence, like, let's say you're a very shy, confident, you know, self-conscious person, but you one day want to get on stage and be able to make a toast. Or let's say your brother or your sister is, you know, you've got stage fright, your brother and sister getting married, and your goal is to stand on that stage and give a speech in front of 200 people. Like, that is possible. You just have to learn how to do it. And it works off anything. So I'm very passionate about that. It's like, anything is possible. So that's kind of how I've lived my life, and just trusted that it will work out. I don't know how it'll work out, but it will work out for me.
Yeah, it's having that belief, really, and
yeah,
adding more certainty to yourself. So yeah, I love what you were talking about there, and it's something I've got to check out, actually, his video. So I haven't, that's one resource that I've learned today. So thanks for sharing that one. Just one final question, just on the last one. So you talked about, obviously we've talked about a few things, and you've given some bits of advice, and you mentioned about affirmations earlier, and that helping to get into the subconscious. You're probably like me, you're a bit of a geek on the subconscious mind. Absolutely love it. But yeah, and getting the affirmations, getting into the subconscious mind, I always like to put emotional intensity behind the words as well.
Yes.
To really, really get there, because else it's sometimes hard to get through. So that's, you know, that could be one way to create that certainty and belief within someone. And we like to be consistent with our identity. So believing in actually that there is greatness about us, that's one way. What would you say are a few habits that people could incorporate into their daily lives to just build up their self-esteem and their confidence?
I mean, affirmations is definitely one of them. Just starting with daily affirmations, and they might sound silly, they might feel silly, but if you need to, if, like what I did with my dad, like there was one point where I knew he was very he had a very low self-confidence in one area. So I just took little sticky notes. And I wrote, I can't even remember what it was. It was like, I'm a funny, entertaining, confident guy, or something like that. I can't really remember. There was a few, because I stuck sticky notes all around the house. I stuck it on his driving, like his steering wheel. I stuck it on like the toilet door. If you need to stick things everywhere, like if you see this bit of my office is neat. The rest, I've got my vision board there. I've got a blackboard painted like on my opposite wall. Yeah. But my blackboard's about 2 meters long by like a meter wide. Like, it's a full blackboard, and I've got like, you have amazing energy. Like, just a message to myself. You have amazing energy. No matter what, just don't stop. Like, I've got my goals written on the board so that they're in front of me all the time. So if there's things that you want to convince yourself, see if you can sit down and have them, have triggers in your phone. Brendan Burchard talks about this. Have alarms that go off on your phone every couple of hours with a message to yourself. So when your phone goes off, you have to check it, and you're going to read that message. So there's so many ways you can unconsciously brainwash your subconscious mind, like, continually. Obviously, meditation's huge. Like, if you can get into meditation, it'll be one of the best things that anybody can ever do for themselves. Yeah. Like, yeah. I know it seems woo-woo as well, but meditation is so incredibly powerful, because it's also just checking in with yourself. Like, seriously, just listening to your own, taking a breath and listening to what your body wants from you, listening to what your mind really has to say without all the stresses. Like, I always have it as like, I always excited for my meditations, because my meditations are like lucid dreaming. They're literally like lucid dreaming for me. I am so visual that I can picture all my dreams. Like, I can picture my whole life when I'm in my meditation state, and it's like it there. I can feel it. I can smell it. Like, I'm so strong with my, you know, my emotions, and I can get so deep. that I love it. I get so excited to do my meditations. But the other habit is journaling. I think journaling is way more, is so much more powerful than what people think. And I know people will be like, oh yeah, whatever. But like literally just, if you just get a notebook and at night before you go to bed or first thing in the morning when you wake up, just put the pen to paper and start writing and see what comes out. You know, it's a safe space for you to, it's a safe space and a safe outlet for you to start talking. And actually, as you're writing, you're not even going to want to write it because things are going to come up and you go, do I really think that? Like, am I really suppressing this kind of stuff? You know, it'll be worries, stresses, like get them out on paper. And then when they're out there, then you can finally acknowledge them instead of just like burying them and going, no, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. I'm doing good. No, we're just going to pack this all in here. Mm. And we're going to push it to the side and we're going to get on with our lives because that's what you're supposed to do. So I think that's very, very important. So affirmations, getting into meditation, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes a day, and just keeping a journal, sitting and just writing, just writing. Seeing what comes to mind. I mean, there's lots of like journal prompts that you can find online if you need a bit of help, and diaries and things like that. But I think that is super powerful. So that's, yeah, those are the habits that I would include.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, some really good tips there. And the affirmations, I like what you said, that sometimes people might feel silly about saying something powerful to themselves. But I always had the point that it's more silly to go through life not liking yourself or believing in yourself. So it's just an exercise.
Or lying to yourself.
Or lying to yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I like what you said about the journaling, particularly one when I've worked with clients, is that it's like, right, I don't feel good. How can I get quickly back into feeling good? Which is good. Like, they're thinking that way. They're not falling into the negative. But if you're not going to pick up some of these challenges and the thoughts, the brain is coming back up, they're just going to keep popping up again. So that journaling at the end of the day really allows you to explore them and can actually see you to understand how silly they are. But if we leave things in our head and just untouch and we just get back to being busy again, as most of us do, and we're all busy in some way, then they're just going to keep coming back up. So love what you said about the journaling. And even if it's just, right, okay, I've had a thought. I don't have time to, you know, fully journal every time you have a negative thought, but perhaps just noting it and then noting them as you're going through the day and then journaling all of them.
And then, and sitting and thinking in it, because also there's, you know, things might come up that are superficial, you know, and this is where like working with coaches is so good because we can help you dive deeper into the root issue. Like, why do you always feel that way when a certain person walks past you at work? You know, why? Why does that person irk you so much? Like, why, when you're in this situation, do you suddenly get anxious? Like, what's the real reason? You know, that's where we can really help you dive deep, because I know with myself, like, I'll be superficially anxious about something, like, I don't know, I can't even think of anything off the top of my head now. But if I know I'm superficially anxious, and I do suffer anxiety, I still suffer anxiety. Like, I get eczema and psoriasis. Like, when I know I'm stressed out and I suffer eczema, like, it redevelops as bad psoriasis. Or sometimes I just have days where I'm like so anxious and I have to sit down and try and figure out why. Because a lot of times I don't even know why. And that's when I sit and I journal. I'm like, okay, what am I worried about? Why is my heart racing so much? What am I stressed about? Am I excited or am I anxious? So there's different things that's where coaching, like working with people like us, really does help, because we can pull you up on it, we can keep you on top of it and help you dive deep. So when you find the root issue, you kind of then go, oh yeah, but that's so silly, I don't need to be worried about that. And we go, cool, well, let's work on that, you know, so that you don't have to be worried about it. And then it's just, it lifts so much weight off your chest. Like, you know, it could be deeply rooted things from your childhood that somebody did, or, you know, somebody said to you in your childhood that has just stuck with you subconsciously. And then anybody like that and you don't even realize because it's so deeply stuck in your subconscious mind. So I highly recommend anybody that is stuck and asking for help and having help. There's nothing wrong with having help. This is another huge thing that I think people need to understand, that it's okay to ask for help. And it doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're not strong. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, I have a coach. I know you have a coach. Mm. You know, we all need, even coaches need coaches. Teachers need teachers. Like, You know, Rob always says the best teachers are still learning and the best healers are still healing. Like, we're all on a development journey. So asking for help and asking someone, a third party, a unbiased person, to help you work through something that right now might make you feel, oh, I don't want to tell somebody my issues, but in 12 months time, with that huge weight off your chest and you're feeling so much free because you're a little bit more awake and a bit more open, I think is super, super powerful, and people need to keep that in mind. So
yeah, really valid point about the help. So thanks for raising that one as well. Well, Casey, it's been a brilliant chat, and I really appreciate you coming on today and giving us so much value, as I knew you would. So thank you for being
on. Thank you so much for having me, Johnny. I hope I haven't talked your ear off.
No, it's all valuable stuff. It's you know, it's great to have guests on giving different point of views. So rather than just my episode. So thanks for collaborating with me today. So just for, if people want to find out more about your stuff or your work, where can they find you?
Best place is probably Instagram right now. Just Casey, Casey underscore Iola, Iola underscore. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you'll give them a link or whatever. But yeah, Instagram is probably the best. That's where I spend most of my time. It's the inbox that I manage. Facebook I keep kind of I've just kind of got friends and family on Facebook, but Instagram's my go-to. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Instagram, brilliant. And what we'll do, we'll put the link in the description of the episode on both the video and this podcast episode. So thank you, Casey, and thank you to everyone listening today, and we will be back with the next episode shortly.
Thanks, Johnny.